Back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we're going to have a nice long chat with Dan McCarty, outgoing head wrestling coach. He's stepping down, in fact, retiring after spending nearly 30 years in the Huron School District, and a lot of them as the head wrestling coach. And Dan, before we go back to the beginning, let's talk about now. This was no secret. I know I heard about it over a year ago that this was your target to retire. Talk a little what went into that decision.
I think a lot of it was my back. There's still some things I want to be able to do, and I want to make sure I'm able to do it when I'm plenty healthy. I like to do a lot of hunting and fishing. I like to, go to different places hunting and fishing. It's, you know, when I'm teaching and coaching, I'm kind of tied down to that. I like to go ice fishing up in Canada sometimes, and during the winter months, I just can't. I want to go hunting up in Canada, and I really can't with teaching, and so I have the opportunity to retire, and so I'm going to take advantage of and do that.
And the one thing I think of, I just think back in the last few years, if I remember right, you just had a back surgery a year ago, and before that, it seems to me you had a knee surgery not that long ago as well.
Yes, it was. I've had both knees scoped, and I had the back. That was a few years ago, and then I had the back surgery last year, and you know, I don't want to take any more chances with that.
Well, let's just go back to the beginning. I've known you for a long time, going back to the 90s when you took over, but I don't know a lot about your background. I do know Park Rapids, Minnesota is where you grew up. Talk a little about that. You grew up in a household that was based around sports, it sounds like.
Yes, it was. I was, as long as I can remember, I was always involved with sports, and that was... I was born in Red Lake Falls, Minnesota. My dad was a coach there, football and basketball coach and baseball, and then moved to Moorhead, where he went to finish his master's degree, and then moved to Parker's Prairie. And since I can remember, I was with him all the time. Whenever he would go to football practice at Parker's Prairie, he turned into a wrestling coach, and so then we'd go to wrestling practice, and we were at track practice, and that was from, I must have been 2 or 3 years old, and he had us with, and we'd go on the bus with him to games or matches or track meets. And as long as I can remember, I wanted to do sports and I wanted to coach sports. And, you know, after third grade, we moved to Park Rapids, and I basically grew up in Park Rapids, and the same thing continued. He was football, wrestling, and track coach there, and I continued everything. I went to just about every practice he had, and we had a lot of fun. And, you know, as we got older, it was kind of his manager until we could participate in sports, which started in, for us, it was middle school, which was fifth grade. And then once fifth grade started, I was football, wrestling, and track for just about the rest of my, middle school and high school career.
And you mentioned, I know she mentioned we a lot. Tell us about your family, a typical 60s family, it sounds like. Sounds like you already had 4 or 5 siblings.
Yep, and I had two brothers. One brother's a year and a half older than me. And a brother that's a year younger, and we would do just about everything together. And the three of us, we'd go to football practice, and we'd get all the equipment on, and we'd have our own football games. And when we get to the practice, and when we were youngsters, all the high school kids let us run a play, and we'd have a lot of fun with it. But yeah, we did everything together, the three boys. And then I have three sisters that were younger than us, and it was kind of hectic because I think in 10 years there was 6 of us, and so we had a lot of fun, and we still have a lot of fun together.
Well, tell us about your high school years there when you were active in sports there in Park Rapids. Basically just a typical kid, I suppose. It's not like you're all three seasons, you're involved in something.
Yes, it was. It was when football started, fall started, then it was football. The middle of August, we started with football, and when that finished, we basically had a week off, and then we started up with the wrestling season, and when wrestling season was over, it was maybe another week off, and then track season started, and we went into that. And I know growing up that much, weightlifting was really just getting going, but there wasn't much of a summer program for us, and so in the summer, everybody found a job, or we all found a job, and we worked on that, did some conditioning, but not a lot. And then, you know, always look forward to the next year when the sports season would start again. And once it started, we were full blown with sports. And you know, I know it was hectic in our house with my dad gone, but he'd always take us to practice, so that part was nice. And you know, just like everybody else, the weekends are always busy with people going away to the wrestling tournaments. And I guess my parents are lucky because the three boys were involved in most of the sports that they were.
Tell us about your years there at high school and successes, failures, that sort of thing. I guess the one thing I always like to bring out, and I'll just preface it by saying I weighed 180 pounds when I graduated high school. Tell us the weights you wrestled at.
I was a little bit different. It was kind of odd because I was always a lineman in football. I always played center, and that was started in seventh grade. We had intramural football, and I was a center there in seventh and eighth grade. I think I became a center because the center got to pick the team, and so I did that, and then I continued that when I was a freshman, and I weighed about 102 or 103 pounds. I was a center, and I started off in the third string, and by the end of the year, I was the first string center. And the next year, I weighed about 115 pounds as a sophomore. I was still center, and I was I wrestled and ended up being 105. But we got a 3-pound growth allowance, so I wrestled most of the year at 112, and then with the 3-pound growth allowance, I went down to 105 at the end of the year, and ended up qualifying for state as a sophomore. And then, I guess in my freshman year, I should have mentioned that after football, then I wrestled, and I was a starter. The weight was 98 at the time, and I wrestled most of the year, and we were lifting weights in my dad's gym class, and I broke my arm on my birthday, and so that cut my wrestling season short. That was about halfway through the wrestling season, and that got healed up in time that I could run track in spring, and so I pole vaulted. Never was a very good pole vaulter. I couldn't figure out how to bend the pole, but I think it went 9 or 9.6 in ninth grade, and then in 10th grade it was football. I was a second or third string JV center, and then wrestled and qualified for state. And then my sophomore year, decided not to go for track just because I didn't have any size or any speed. And then my junior year hit, and I grew a little bit. I was up to about, I think I hit about 150, maybe 140, 150 when the wrestling or when football started. And I was a backup center, and I got to play a lot on the JV team, so had a lot of fun. I think we were about the first JV team that beat Bemidji, Minnesota, which was, for us, was a big deal because they were two or three times the size that we were. And then in wrestling, I was having a very good year. I wrestled at 126 or 119. And then at the region tournament where I was expecting to qualify for state, I don't know what happened, if I lost too much weight or what the deal was, but I ended up in the emergency of that room and had to default out of the region tournament. And so my wrestling season was over then. And again, I didn't go off for track. I kind of wish I would have, but I didn't. And then my senior year, I started to mature. And when football season started, I started about 170. As a starting center, we had a pretty successful team. We were conference champions. And I think I was the biggest kid on our team. And we ended up qualifying for the state tournament, and we beat, I think they were rated fourth in the state, team from Two Harbors, who was very good. But we were the first team from Park Rapids, I believe, to qualify for the state. And that was the conference champions were the only people that could qualify. And then we had to beat a team to get into it. And so end up all conference football, and then wrestling season started, and I was kind of tired of cutting weight, and so I started the year at 155, and I couldn't beat a friend of mine at the weight, and so I went down to 145, and I just didn't like it, and so I decided to go up a weight, and a friend of mine was at 155, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to go way up. So I went up wrestling at 185. I weighed about 157 or 158 pounds and wrestled at 185 and had a pretty successful season. It was, I think I'd lost two times going into the region tournament. And at the region tournament, I don't know what happened, but I was in the semifinals, and I was ahead, I think it was, I had a 5-2 lead, and I had a guy cradled up, his time was running out, and I was just putting the kid on his back, and he rolled completely through and put me on my back and got a 5-point move out of it and ended up beating me. And so I didn't make the finals, but at the time there was a true second, and wrestling for true second at the time, if there was an overtime, whoever scored the first point, if there was still a tie in overtime, whoever scored the first point was the winner. And I didn't realize that at the time. And when it was my choice, how was it? The thing was my choice. I chose top, so then the second, third period, I could be on the bottom. And that guy ended up getting an escape, so he won the match by getting the first point. And so my wrestling, high school wrestling career was over. And then track season started, and I was kind of deciding what to do. And at the end, I ended up going out for track, and I think I ended up pole vaulting. I made 11 feet 6 inches, and I still brag about that to all the wrestlers. And now all the wrestlers at pole vault, they seem to do that in 7th or 8th grade. And so they always give them something to shoot for. And then after that, I wanted to wrestle in college. But after the region tournament, I just kind of got, I don't know what happened. I just kind of lost that desire. And so kind of, I wasn't really sure what to do after that with colleges. And so I ended up going to Morehead State, and I didn't like it. And I went to Itasca Community College. I didn't like it. I went to Bemidji State. I didn't like it. And finally, it was my dad said, you know what, that's enough. He's like, I think you should get out of the house here or join the service. And so I went in the Marines for 3 years and kind of woke me up and turned my life around.
And talking with Dan McCarty, stepping down and retiring as head wrestling coach for the Huron Tigers, kind of take us through his high school and early college years. We'll take a break here. We'll come back more with McCarty here on Dakota Sports. And we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. Continue our visit with Dan McCarty, stepping down as head wrestling coach of the Huron Tigers. A long career with Huron. When we left off, he just got out of high school and is looking at his options in college. And Dan, first off, you kind of minced over the grandma story there before you went into the Marines. Tell us, because that was kind of the what propelled you to wind up in the Marines.
Yeah, I guess it was when back when I was out of colleges, I dropped out of colleges, and I wasn't sure what to do. I was sitting in my house with my grandma, and we were watching soap operas, and it was right around lunchtime because my dad came home from school for lunch for some reason and saw me sitting there and said, either join the service or get out of my house. And it was about that time I was like, I think I screwed up. And so I was talking to my grandma a little bit about it, and she suggested that I should do something. She said the service isn't all that bad. And when my mom got home from school that day, she was taking classes at the time. She had a degree earlier, and she had to renew. So she was taking some classes, and when she found out about that she suggested I join the Marines because the Marines were only 2 years. And so I went to the recruiter the next day, and I joined the Marines. When he asked how many years you want to go in for, I said, 2. He said, well, we don't have that. Now we have 3 years. And so I went, I joined for 3 years, and kind of funny, I went in on January 10th, and on February, I signed up on January 10th, then February 2nd, I think I was supposed to go in, and the weekend before that, on a Friday, I cut my arm with a chainsaw, and so that delayed that until March 29th I went in, and so went in the Marines to sunny San Diego, and I was able to see the Mojave Desert with 29 palms. I got to spend a year in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and a year in Okinawa, Japan when I was there, and from there I got to go to South Korea a couple times, so I had a lot of fun, got to see different parts of the world, and by the time I got out, I knew I was completely ready to go to college, and I enrolled at Mayville State in the spring quarter of 1986 when I got out, and it was kind of, I took the first two quarters at the time, and I took the minimum I could for full time, and I was able to pass. I did really good with that, and then after that, once I started, it took me 3 years and one quarter of school before I graduated. And at the time, I met my wife Lisa, and then we're both teachers, and we're both looking for teaching jobs, and end up coming to Huron. And it's kind of goofy because at the time it was very difficult to find teaching jobs. And they said we applied to 50 different places in Minnesota, Eastern North Dakota, and Eastern South Dakota. And when we got an interview, we both got an interview in Huron, and we both took it. And so that was back in 1990, and we haven't regretted it since.
I suppose the first thing I'm going to say there is, before you saw the openings, you probably had never heard of Huron, South Dakota.
That was about it. Yes, it was. I remember when I was in when I was over in Okinawa, that I would look through college magazines or look through books for college to see where to go to and what would be fun. And I remember seeing here in college in there, and I remember seeing Dakota Wesleyan in there that was in Mitchell. A friend of mine told me that a friend of his went to school at Mitchell, and so I was just kind of looking at that. But that was about the only time that I've ever heard of Huron. I guess when wrestling in college, I heard about here in college because they were in our district, but that would have been about the only time. And I know when I drove down here for the interview, that was second time I'd ever been in South Dakota, and I think the first time was when we were pheasant hunting in Ortonville. My dad drove us into Big Stone City and said, "There, you guys have been to South Dakota," and he turned right around and we got out of there.
Well, let's talk about your start in Huron. I know you're an assistant coach with the wrestling program. Just talk about those early years you were in Huron.
Well, when I first came to Huron, it was I was teaching fourth grade, and I taught fourth grade for a year. They didn't want me to do any coaching the first year, so I was an elementary teacher. And the second year, I got into sixth grade football, and third year, they had a wrestling spot open up. They kind of created a position because they had so many kids out, and I was supposed to float between the middle school and the high school team. And so that was with Ken Chiak as the high school head coach. And we went in there, and I just basically spent my whole time with the high school team. I would go with the freshmen sometimes when we'd go on weekends, but otherwise we're always with the high school team. We had some very good teams back then. Ken was the head coach. Steve Peters was the assistant. And well, it was kind of fun because you got to wrestle again basically the whole time. I had to practice with Dale Doherty and Shane Peters and Jared Puterbaugh and Chad Schmidt and Jesse Sandrio, all the big guys that we had that were really good wrestlers. And it was a lot of fun, and it was we had some good teams. We were third in the state the first year that I was there, and the second year we were state champions. And I thought, wow, this is nice. Every year we're going to be like this. And then after that, the next year I went to I became the middle school head coach. And I would still come in after practice and help with the high school team. And the next year, I had 2 years as a head middle school coach, and then Ken Chiak decided to get out, and he asked me if I was interested in the job. And so I said yes, and after that I became the head coach.
You know, and as you look back there, I know the early years, there was a few lean times, but it just took a while to get things rolling. I can remember, I believe it was Scott Beekman was the first wrestler who had that won a state championship. And like his senior year, I can remember, we really struggled other than his weight. In fact, he was having a hard time getting matches in the duels because everybody just avoided him. But really, it seemed like Scott won that state championship undefeated as a senior, and that almost seemed like a springboard, and the program started rolling after that.
It was when I first started, we had a really good sophomore class. When I first started as a head coach, we had a really good sophomore class. Matt Magnus, Reed Smith, Billy Meese, Ben Quam, Doug Morano, Jeff Petrie, Mike Bogue was part of that. Those are some of the kids that were part of it, but there was about 10 or 12 of them that were there, and we had a really good class that graduated in 1999. And going to the state meet, I thought we had a good chance to be top eight, but unfortunately Matt Magnus got sick the week of the state meet, and he couldn't wrestle, and we ended up being 10th. And then after that, it was pretty tough. I remember the next year, in 2000, Andy Beekman was our best wrestler. And in our last duel of the year against Mitchell, Andy separated his shoulder, and he he was out for the year, and we thought Andy could place pretty high. And so we were looking at him and possibly Scott placing pretty high from the year before, and we had the state tournament in Aberdeen, and Scott had just some questionable calls go against him, and he ended up taking seventh for I thought he could be in the third place match, and Rick Evans found a way to sneak in and end up eighth. That was 2000, and I don't think we won a duel that year. The next year, 01, I think it was even worse. We had a bunch of opens, but the good thing is we had a really good bunch of eighth grade kids that were moving in, and they were that were here, but it was like Sean Chipman and James Cotts, Pat Roth, Joe Morano, Trenton Brown. I'm not going to remember all the kids, but they were just a fantastic group of kids. And they came in as eighth graders to our wrestling room, and you could just see all the fight in them, and they wanted to wrestle. And the next year, 01, Scott got second, and the next year when Scott won it, all our eighth graders, they saw what it was like. When they got to see that, they got to experience. And, you know, the next year, I think if Scott won it the next year, that year we had Eric Musil. He said, "Coach, what's going to take it to turn this program around?" I said, "Eric, we need a leader." I said, "You're going to be a senior next year, or you're going to be he was a sophomore at the time when Scott was a senior. I said, "We need a leader, and you're going to be the leader." And so Eric's junior year, he kind of took him under his wing, and all these young kids, he'd invite them out to his house, and he really kept everybody together. And, but when he was a junior, Dustin Walraven came along, and Dustin placed in the state, and the kids got to see the excitement that was with Dustin Walraven. And, you know, it's amazing what happened between him and Eric Musil and that big group of kids that we had. And then we had, it was a class of 04, I believe, or 05. In the class of 06, they had 10 or 12 kids in each class, and the next class was the same, and the next class was the same, and it just took off from there.
You know, and as we move ahead, you know, we're kind of skipping over a little bit here, but for me, I felt the pinnacle there was about 2012, 2013, and 2012, we were leading the state tournament midway through the semifinals. We qualified 5 for the finals, ended up second place overall to a peer team that was just on a roll, and then the next year, 2013, as I recall, we finished 3rd in the state, although we scored the same amount of team points as we had the previous year when we finished 2nd. So, you know, to me, that it just all kind of culminated with that group of kids.
It did, yes. It was, and you know, when you look back on it, just every year we just got a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better, and you could just see it in the kids as they were coming up, and it did. It was, you know, with Reagan and Hartman and Matt, those three, it was fun the way that all ended. How it just kept getting better and better and better, and eventually it came to an end, unfortunately.
You know, and as I think back, and I know I've said something about this to you before, we had so many sets of brothers that came through, starting with the Beekmans when you began, ending this year with the Cotts and Schillingstads in the middle there, Glanzers, Walravens. I'm missing guys, but, you know, there are so many brothers, the Strubles, another pair that came through for you. You know, you just had the good, solid wrestling families.
Oh, we did. It was, they were good wrestling families. They were a lot of fun. We used to all have a lot of fun at the tournaments, at the matches. It was, each family. We were just a big, huge wrestling family, and it was a lot of fun when we'd go to those meets. Everybody was expecting something big to happen, and something usually did.
I'm going to go back here, and, you know, you had a lot of state champions, that sort of thing, but yet the things I remember most, I saw you get emotional 3 times over the years. 2 of them were after losses. 1 was after a kid probably was your biggest overachiever ever. And those are the times I really saw you get emotional. The most emotional I ever saw you was after Chet Glanzer lost his senior year in the semifinals. And right before that, when Matt Halter lost in the finals his senior year after being there 3 years in a row. On the other hand, the overachiever I'm talking about, Tom Struble, who made a state championship, which you never thought would have happened a couple of years before that. But, you know, it's easy to remember the championships, the winners. It's another way to remember, you know, some of those situations that happened.
It is. It's, you know, the thing about Tom Struble, I don't think he ever wrestled. And I had him in eighth grade football, and I just happened to ask his mom. I saw at Kmart, said, "Hey, is Tom going out for wrestling this year?" Because I thought Tom wrestled, but it was his brother John that did earlier. And Tom came out for wrestling his eighth grade year, and he ended up winning one match on JV, and that was between middle school and JV wrestling. As a freshman, he came in, and we didn't have anybody at the weight, and so he wrestled varsity for us at 189, and he won one match, and that was on varsity. But every time he'd go out there, and you could see he was fighting, and, you know, he'd get pinned or tech fall in the first period just about every match. But the one match he won, there was a kid from Aberdeen whose one of his parents died the night before, and he still wanted to wrestle. And Tom ended up beating that guy, and that was Tom's only win for the year in ninth grade. As a sophomore, Tom was starting again at 189, and Tom ended up with the winning record, qualified for state, and just missed placing in the state. As a junior, he was fourth in the state and just missed the state finals. He got a cradle all hooked up in the semifinals and couldn't get the back points. And in the finals, he ended up second in the state. And it was just, to me, it was just, I still can't believe that he was able to do that. And when you look at Tom Struble, if you pick Tom Struble out of a lineup for somebody you had to wrestle, he'd pick Tom Struble because he did not look like a wrestler. But he would go out there, and he always found a way to win. He was so competitive, and he wanted to succeed so badly, and it was fun to watch. And then, you know, Matt Halter's the same thing. He's been with the program forever, and, you know, third time each year. First time I didn't think Matt could win. He had a really good kid from Sturgis, but the second time it was right in the match, and just something unfortunate would happen, and something didn't quite go our way, that we didn't get the points that I thought we could get. They say we stepped on a line, and I don't know if we did. I can see it. The same thing happened Matt's senior year, and, you know, it was just a little goofy thing that it was one or two points really decided the match, and, you know, you kind of felt for Matt that he was three times his second, and then, you know, with Chet Glanzer, I've known Chet since he was in kindergarten, and, you know, every year during wrestling season, all we talk about was wrestling, and, you know, how he's going to be a state champ by the time he's a senior, and, you know, it didn't happen. He was so close all those years, and, you know, he didn't even make the finals, and, you know, but it's something that it was tough, and it's tough to do, and you have so much emotion built up with these kids, and then, you know, it finally comes to an end, and you feel for them, but unfortunately, life doesn't go the way you want it to go. It's the way it is, and that's the way it was. So.
Well, let's talk about life now here. We'll get things wrapped up here. You coached your own kid, Pat, who was, I believe, 2011 was his senior year, and then daughter Kelly was a great volleyball player for the Tigers as well. Talk about coaching Pat. Did you learn any lessons from the fact that your dad was also your coach?
Yeah, I probably did. Just going back when thinking back on it, but I think I learned more lessons from listening to other coaches I know there was other coaches that they'd make their kids sit down and watch film and stuff all the time with them. And, you know, I wanted to treat Pat just like he was another athlete. He is also my son. And when wrestling was over, when practice was over, then that was it. I really didn't, we didn't do a lot of this, talk about a lot of the stuff at home. And, I let him be a kid as much as possible. I don't know if it's the right thing to do, but I did. It was, you know, he was always going to be my son. And, you know, we got to wrestling. It was, you know, it's difficult when your son's out there wrestling. It's, but we survived it. And it was always a pleasure watching him. And it was always, you know, we still talk about him when his friends get together. When the 2011 team gets together, they're the only undefeated Huron team. And the only team that went undefeated in the ESD, and, you know, the other ones they have a lot of successes, but they were undefeated in the ESU. They're the only team that can say that, and it was fun that my son's part of that.
We'll talk about Pat and Kelly. Where are they at now?
Pat's he's a power lineman. He's working for Cass County Electric out of Fargo, North Dakota, and my daughter is a senior at USD. She's a student teacher right now. She wants to be a physical education teacher also, and she will graduate at Christmas time next year.
Well, as we kind of wrap things up here, there's a lot of subjects that I know I missed, a lot of other great wrestlers. You just mentioned an ESD championship. I know you won two of them over that stretch. But bottom line is, when you coach as long as you did, there's just a lot of events that have happened. Is there one event, and this is a tough question for you, is there one event that sticks out here now as you look back?
The one event that sticks out is... I think the one big one was when we won the ESD title in 2008, and that was, we finally did it. It was, when we came so close so many times, and we finally did it, and it came down to Tony Scheid could not get pinned at 215, and he weighed about 189 or whatever it was that he had to weigh. He weighed the minimum. And his thing was, do not get pinned. And he went out there and he fought for everything. And he lasted the full, I don't know if he went the full 6 minutes, but I think it was end up getting tech-falled. And so if he was able to do that, then we win the ESD. And Tony Scheid did that. And just the feeling that we got after that was just such a phenomenal feeling for the coaches and for the whole team, I think, and for all the parents that were down there watching it. That has got to be right up there, along with, getting five guys in the state finals. The feeling after that was another one that was just a few years after that. So between those two, probably had to be the best ones.
Well, we'll just wrap it up with this now. You are officially retired when this school year is over, but at least for now, you're not going anywhere either.
Nope, I still plan to stick around here, and I'm going to be painting houses in the summertime, and my wife is still teaching, and so we'll be around here for a little bit. A lot will depend, I think, on what my... what Pat and Kelly decide to do after Kelly graduates, or if Pat eventually moves back to the Huron area, I'm sure we'd stick around here. We like it here, so.
Dan McCarty stepping down as head wrestling coach after 23 years. He'll be retiring as a teacher as well, but as he just said, we'll still be around the Huron area for the time being. We'll take a break here. More coming up here, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.